Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look out the windows and see that sun shining down around us, Father, let us look at that and understand what it is that you are light. To understand, Father, all that your light reveals, and let us desire, Father, to walk in that light. Let your Spirit work in our hearts and minds this morning to lead us and guide us on these your words, that we may continue to grow in our relationship in you, Father, and walking in your ways. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want you to bear with me here for half a second because this might get a little deep. I read it like 15 times through and I still didn't get half of what I was reading. But this was such an interesting thing, is this morning we want to talk about lights and what light means. And the contrast then of dark and light. And I was reading in this write-up from Psychology Today, and you've got this write-up by two people with their PhDs, and so this is worded in ways way beyond my capabilities of understanding it. But it sounded interesting, so it's going to make me sound smart. So you'll be up there going, whoa, yeah. But no, pay attention, because it is kind of understanding when you see how the world views light and dark, if you will. And one of the things that they start talking about is initially in this article, they lay out the Chinese philosophies. And in Chinese philosophies, often things, everything in the universe works in harmony together. A lot of you have seen the yin and yang symbol. It's that little tadpole this way, the white one, and then the black tadpole-y thing this way, and there are little eyes in it, and they're in that circle. That's the yin and the yang symbol. And what that is supposed to mean and to signify, and these little two tadpole-y things form this circle, is the white one. That's light. It's described as an active male energy that forms the yin energy. The yang energy is formed from dark, passive female energy. By the way, that's just what's written, all right? Ladies, don't throw things at me. The yin and the yang concept expresses a very important theory of creation, personality, and psychology. So then these writers now, after describing this yin and the yang and how these work in harmony with one another, they go on to say that though these might be two discrete separate forces, they're actually complementary of each other. You see, what looks like a little eye on each of those little tadpole things is actually meant to symbolize a seed of the other element in it. So in essence, is they both share qualities of the same. They each have the possibility in it of having the other component to it. Going on to say, yin and yang may not be so much fixed properties as they are fluid possibilities and momentary manifestations. Indeed, it may be the perspective of the observer rather than any absolute inherent quality of the observed that prescribes meaning. In short, it may be our imperfect, subjective, and limited perspective more than anything else that determines whether something is light or dark, good or evil, positive or negative, and so forth. And if we enlarge your view, we will find that little, if anything, is completely one state or the other. If there are two sides, then they are two sides of the same coin. So do you get that? There is no good or evil, it's how we perceive it. There's a little of everything in everything. So I'd like you to stand now for the reading of our sermon text. And usually I like to start off by reading our sermon text first, but I wanted you to hear that part, that perspective of how they view things. How good and evil is how we see it. How in all good there's the propensity for evil, and how in all evil there's the propensity for good. And I want you to remember that as you hear our sermon text, which comes from John's first letter. We'll read today verses 1 through 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You may be seated. Did you hear the last couple verses of that and how that's already now at contrast with the perspective and the view of the philosophies of the world on good and evil, how there's no absolutes, how good has a seed of bad in it and bad has a seed of good in it. Remember, that's that little I symbol. Really what the world wants to tell you, and trust me, I'm not spoiling any ending to any movie. If you've not seen the original Star Wars trilogy at this point, you're probably never going to see it, so I'm not ruining the ending, right? But in the ending, if you haven't seen it, or if you have to conjure your memory, remember at the end of Empire Strikes Back, Darth declares to Luke that I am your father, and Luke is devastated, right? Because Darth Vader symbolizes all that is dark and evil, and Luke is supposed to symbolize all that is good. And then so in Return of the Jedi, the final one of the trilogy, you've got the evil emperor, and he's got Luke and ready to defeat him, and Darth is wrestling now with that inner seed of goodness that he has in him. And the inner seed of goodness wins out, and he throws the emperor over into whatever abyss thing, and the emperor perishes, and good wins, right? And that's what the world wants us to think again. There's that little bit of good in all that's evil, because there's that little bit of evil in all that's good. And then, you know, as it's said here, they can both live in harmony with one another. You know, again, the problem with that statement is, I want you to hear how Jesus describes Satan in John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. This is what Jesus now says about Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Out of his own character, whatever he speaks is a lie because it is who he is. There is no glimmer of good in him, just like there is no glimmer of darkness in God. And this is such an important thing for us to understand because what John is building off of in this now is he is going to be outlining for us the character of God and that we can know who God is. That God is completely good and that Satan is completely evil. It is for him to destroy all that is good, all that is of God, and thus they are not two sides of the same coin. They are not even together. All right? So what I want to do this morning now is introduce this sermon series that I'm hitting into first off, because I want to talk about John's letters. We're going to go through John's letters now for however long it takes, because I will put on my cone of shame that I wear quite frequently. It was one of those areas where over the week it hit me and I'm like, why am I a pastor? Because I really shouldn't be doing this. Because as I was preparing for a whole different sermon topic, I was going to actually use some of these verses that we read for something else. And I'm like, well, I talked about how God is the light. And I'm like, do we really know what that means? Have we ever talked about what it means that God is light? So I started reading more on John's letters, and the more I'm reading, the more I realize how little I know about John's letters. And I was really embarrassed. I'm like, oh, man. Like, I know nothing about these. And I was fascinated with all that I was reading. And I'm like, there is so much being taught here in John's letters because John was a pastor writing his letters to a fractured church that he was part of in a culture that was dealing with so much bad theology. And I'm like, well, this all applies to us today because these bad theologies and these battles within the church are still prevalent today. They might have different names, they might be taught under different things, but frankly, they're all the same. And I'm like, I think we need to look into these truths. And so if we're going to study what John talks about, we're going to study that John is laying out these biblical truths for us. One of the things we have to talk about is what he means then that God is light, because John uses this as a central point for his teaching. This is found all throughout Scripture. John uses this imagery the most, but all throughout Scripture it mentions how God or Jesus is the light. You look at John in his first gospel, he identifies all of creation through Jesus. And in that, then, he goes on to describe the light that is Jesus in all of this. Listen to verses 4 through 9 and the references here. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone who was coming into the world. You hear all the references of the word light in there, and the reference of Jesus as light, and what this means for us? John 3:16, you heard it read about. We all know, you know, for God so loved the world, and you see that held up at sporting events. But if you heard in our gospel reading today, the further explanation of that, how Jesus was the light coming into the world to reveal light and darkness within the world. Jesus makes it very clear about himself in John 8:12. You're not going to get any more clear than this, as Jesus says, "So then, brothers," that's Romans, by the way. Like, that doesn't sound right at all. Here we go. All right, we're going to try this again. John 8:12, Jesus says this specifically, "And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Do you get the concept now of all the light that's being mentioned here and why we're talking about this? Why John was writing about this and how important it was? So what I want to do now for the rest of today is really describe then this link that John is establishing between light and God. And how does this apply to us? Because he's not just saying, hey, when you have a blackout, call on God to light everything up for you. He's talking about what this means for our lives as a whole. And what do we take from this? Because again, he's addressing issues in the church, issues in bad theology, and these are still issues that are out there today. So first off, why does he identify with light? Why does John choose the light imagery? Because light reveals. And stop and think about that for a moment. Light reveals. That's what light does. So the first thing with light is it reveals the way. What's the first command God speaks in creation? Let there be light. Huh, did you hear that? That's somebody that knows that now from a young age where light comes from. How God led the people out of Egypt with a pillar of fire at night. It led the way. David in Second Samuel 22:29 said, God lightens my darkness. I think it was last week we actually sang the song, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's Psalm 119:105. God's light is the light that we are to follow. Jesus Christ came down to light the gospel and the way of salvation which God has given to us. Again, light reveals the way. Light also reveals false teaching. We'll get into that as the weeks go on. This week we're just focusing on what light means. But as light reveals false teachings, what this helps us understand, and John was addressing a few things with this. First off, he was addressing the pagan religions of the era. Now, we don't deal with that nearly as much, but the pagan religions was worshipped either the sun god or the moon god. If it created light, they worshipped it. The interesting thing is, though, they were worshipping the light itself. John was saying, no, I'm going to worship the one that created the light. And there's a big difference in worshipping the light because that's kind of impersonal versus worshipping the creator of it all. The one who, as I said earlier, said we can call him friend, the personal nature of the relationship we can have with God. The light also reveals false, what you might want to call Christian teachings, and this gets into some of what John was dealing with. In his church, he was battling with those that had some form of a spiritual elitism. He was battling, and he actually, we've learned, was part of a fractured church because there were prominent members in his church that tried to claim some sort of spiritual elitism. I've received this extra biblical revelation from God. That's why we heard in the beginning of John's letter right there when he talked about, listen, I walked with Jesus, I learned from Jesus, so I know what I'm saying here, and this is how we have fellowship with him, because he was battling these people that claimed to have had these special revelations. Special revelations can be a very dangerous thing because in God's word, the light reveals God and God's plan, and any revelation that is not part of that does not fit or belong. The light makes that very clear. You'll find it very interesting if you study the pattern of cults throughout history. Cults are always started by a very dynamic personality who claims a special revelation. The church is wrong, and God has revealed to me this way. Lastly, John was addressing Gnosticism. You know, as we read the Nicene Creed, if you're ever wondering, well, this is kind of an oddly written creed. By the way, read the Athanasian Creed sometime. That thing is long and very specific. But a lot of our creeds that we recite actually were intended to battle and combat false teachings at the time. False teachings that tried to question who God is. Gnosticism was affecting the greater church as a whole. It was more of a combination of a philosophical belief system trying to meld Christianity into that. You're trying to seek the knowledge and wisdom and ultimate source of all of that. And they tried to use light imagery as well. So again, John is using God as light to make it very clear who the light is. So light reveals again the way. Light reveals false teaching. And light reveals our works. And that might make us cringe a little bit, that light reveals our works. Because light reveals who we truly are. Light allows us to understand our hearts and our intentions because it helps us to see that. Again, going back to what John said in verses 6 and 7, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That light is revealing that in you. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So friends, what it means for us to be walking in the light is that we fully know God's word and we strive to walk in that righteousness of it. That is an important thing to know, that we know the truth. Because it says if we claim to, but we don't walk in it, we don't know the truth. But to live in darkness actually means that we are hiding from the light because we don't want it exposing what we're doing because it exposes us. The bottom line is you cannot have darkness and light. And so to have fellowship with God, are you walking in light or darkness? The interesting thing about all of this is when we recognize the walking in light and walking in darkness, we should understand that we seek and strive. That's why I said God recognizes and knows we should strive to walk in the light. But our human nature is very much this. We either walk in the darkness or if anything, we're always kind of curious. We're always kind of looking over at that, right? That's our propensity to do that. That is who we are and it's what's in us. What God is saying is with the light, as we look at the light in us to reveal to us our own actions and our own intentions, it allows us to examine where is that light that is in me. Am I seeking after the things of darkness or am I seeking after the things of light? Because we're here this Sunday, if you think about it, and this is why we come on Sundays, because we want to celebrate the fact that God has called us to be in the light with him. And even though we play around in the darkness or we look over there, we have a God that still loves us and still sets us on the right track and still reveals it to us. And this is why we ultimately come to learn about and how to pursue the light because of how good God is to us. That the light reveals the ways of God that we can say to ourselves, if God is all that is good, should I be following in his ways? And if Satan is all that is evil, why in the world am I pursuing his ways? So lastly, friends, what it means for us then to be walking in the light, because that's an important aspect. So what does that mean? How do we walk in the light? First off, that light is that litmus test for our own actions. It's a great way for us to reveal in ourselves our own nature and our own character, our own actions, to examine them. We all know like the big sins, the big things not to do. And because we know the light would reveal those, but we know those. But it also reveals for us the little bitty things, the little sins that are super easy to hide, that we just put on a smile and nobody can see? Bitterness and anger, resentment, I mean, all these kinds of things that are actually more of our hearts. And the light can reveal that stuff to us because it allows us to ask ourselves, would I want my decisions or my intentions or my thoughts being seen by all? You know what I mean? We can hide it very easily, but what if it was put out there where everybody could see it and know it? And the light helps us examine that. Would I want this be illuminated to all? Because I'll tell you this much right now. When you walk in the light, you do so because you know that you're not fooling God. Other people might not see it, but He knows and sees all of it. Our intentions, our hearts, our actions. And so in knowing this now, that all of this is revealed before God, this should help us come clean with how we live, because you're not fooling Him. It helps us now to say, as we live our lives, is what I'm going to do be pleasing to God? Because He knows anyway. And as we walk in the light, I always think there's two ways to do it. We can walk in the light because we have to, out of this fear that God knows anyway and He's going to smite me for all that I'm doing wrong. But I think that misses out on that beautiful description of when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. It's hard to have fellowship when you just are so scared of God just punishing you at every last step versus walking in the light because you seek after God in a true relationship with Him. The fact that you seek after a good God who loves you and has died for you that you could be with Him. Do you see the difference in relationship types? You either have to walk in the light because He's going to bust me anyway, or I want to walk in it because it's who He is and I want to do what is of Him. What else it means to walk in the light is we reflect the light of God. All throughout Scripture it talks about that too. That when we love those who need to be loved in the world, the people that the world has beaten down and held down, when we love them, they see God's love for them. They can see the world despises me and holds me down, but God loves me and wants to lift me up again. People see the goodness of God through us. When you walk in the light, people see the impact of God on your life. It's why it's so important when it's like, hey, listen, you can't just like talk it, you gotta walk the talk as well. Because if you're saying one thing and doing the other, it doesn't show it. But when you show the impact God has had in your life and you live it out, people see what that truly means to you and how it has changed you and transforms you. When I talk about we reflect God's light through us, it isn't to point others to you, see how great I am, what a nice guy I am, all that other kind of stuff. Your intent is to say, God is so wonderful, and I want you to see what He does for us and through us and His love for you and how He changes you. Basically, it's the whole point is to glorify God through it. Lastly, then, what it means to walk in the light, and this is the part I found most interesting through all of this. So again, in verse 6, it talked about when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. But in verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship with one another. That's one of the last things that says about why we walk in the light. The fact that we are drawn to one another. This fellowship that we have together. That's why church is important, because we get together for that fellowship. We're drawn to be together. As people who walk in the light, to be around that, because again, light and darkness don't do well together. Have you ever been around a group of people sometimes and you just kind of like, I can't wait to leave. I just have this gross feeling. And I really hope it wasn't at church like this week or something like that. You're like, yeah, I come here and it's nasty, okay? But the reality is, have you ever also gotten around your church family and everything just feels right? Like when light is with light, it's right. And that's why we are called to be in fellowship with one another, which is also why Scripture makes very clear, friends, as if somebody in the body of Christ is walking in sin, how we are to call them out and help them out of their sin because they are trying to bring darkness into the light. But instead, we have fellowship because we are in the light together. We have fellowship because we have all been forgiven through the blood of Jesus. And it's so important to understand that kind of, that's why we have fellowship. It like levels the playing field for all of us. Stop and think about that kid when you were growing up, the perfect kid that you just cringed at. You couldn't stand him. Like everything they did was right. And if you can't think of that kid, it was you. You know, we all had them like, oh, they're just so perfect. Nothing goes wrong for them. Or stop and think about those that you look at like, oh, yeah, they're like spiritually advanced more than I am. They're like the elite ones in the church. Or they're more worthy than I am. This is what's so great about when we walk in the light and we have fellowship with one another, because we are all sinful and have all been forgiven by Christ. Because we all realize our fellowship is the fact this is a broken world. This is a world that unfortunately we have succumbed to in the brokenness of the world. It's affected us. We've seen it affect others, and our fellowship comes from the fact that we help each other through the brokenness of the world, knowing that together we have been perfected by our faith in Christ. That's why we have fellowship. That's why we are even together in our fellowship. There's no perfect person or somebody that's better. We are all equally broken and sinful and all equally perfected by the blood of Jesus Christ. So my friends, this will wrap up our first look at John's letters and what these are going to be teaching us. I just thought it was important to establish this light theme first up before we dive into this, because again, John references light and ties God and Jesus into light 23 times. All the Gospels combined don't even quite reach 23 times. This is very important for John to see that we would understand so much. But in knowing this now, in knowing what the light is, and in knowing that there is no darkness in it, that means that God is all good. We should draw from this, this comfort and this assurance. You know, I think about a verse that we cling to sometimes when we struggle in life. You go to Romans 8:28, and I want you to think about now, knowing that God is light. When you hear, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to purpose. Sometimes life can be so difficult and challenging and such a struggle, but if it says, well, it's all done for good, and we know that God is good, then we can trust that all that God brings to our life is good because it's who He is. So understand that, friends, as we go through life. That God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. We are following after a good God. Please bow your heads to me in a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your light. The fact that light reveals, and it has revealed to us the way, which is Jesus Christ and salvation through Him. Father, we pray Your Holy Spirit would continue to shine light in our life on the things that cause us to walk from You, and lead us, Father, to the things that walk in You. Help us, Lord God, to lead those lives for You. Thank You, God, that we have the assurance of forgiveness for the times that we walk away, the times that we stray. Continue to call us and draw us to You, that we may shine Your light through us, that we may be that city on a hill, Father, bringing glory to You. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.